Chapter 24. Get to keep him and me alive. Often I got nothing, and then I would crawl back and lie on the floor by the side of his couch. Oh yes, I can sleep quite soundly on bare boards. That is nothing, and I am only mentioning it to you, so that you should not think I am a cyberite. It was infinitely less killing than the task of sitting for hours at a table in a cold study to take the books of Peter Ivanovich from dictation. But you shall see yourself what that is like, so I needn't say any more about it. It is by no means certain that I will ever take Peter Ivanovich from dictation, said Miss Alden. No, cried the other incredulously. Not certain? You mean to say that you have not made up your mind? When Miss Alden assured her that there never had been any question of that between her and Peter Ivanovich, the woman with the cat compressed her lips tightly for a moment. Oh, you will find yourself settled at the table before you know that you have made up your mind. Don't make a mistake, it is disenchanting to hear Peter Ivanovich dictate, but at the same time there is a fascination about it. He is a man of genius. Your face is certain not to irritate him. You may perhaps even help his inspiration, make it easier for him to deliver his message. As I look at you, I feel certain that you are the kind of woman who is not likely to check the flow of his inspiration. Miss Alden thought it useless to protest against all these assumptions. But this man, this workman, did he die under your care? She said, after a short silence. The Dame de Compagnie, listening up the stairs, where now two voices were alternating with some animation, made no answer for a time. When the loud sounds of the discussion had sunk into an almost inaudible murmur, she turned to Miss Alden. Yes, he died, but not, literally speaking, in my arms, as you might suppose. As a matter of fact, I was asleep when he breathed his last. So even now I cannot say I have seen anybody die. A few days before the end, some young men found us out in our extremity. They were revolutionists, as you might guess. He ought to have trusted in his political friends when he came out of prison. He had been liked and respected before, and nobody would have dreamed of reproaching him with his indiscretion before the police. Everybody knows how they go to work, and the strongest man has his moments of weakness before pain. Why, even hunger alone is enough to give one queer ideas as to what may be done. A doctor came, our lot was alleviated as far as physical comforts go, but otherwise he could not be consoled, poor man. I assure you, Miss Alden, that he was very lovable, but I had not the strength to weep. I was nearly dead myself. But there were kind hearts to take care of me. A dress was found to clothe my nakedness. I tell you, I was not decent, and after a time the revolutionists placed me with a Jewish family going abroad as governess. Of course I could teach the children. I finished the 6th class of the Lyceum. But the real object was that I should carry some important papers across the frontier. I was entrusted with a packet which I carried next my heart. The gendarmes at the station did not suspect the governess of a Jewish family, busy looking after 3 children. I don't suppose those Hebrews knew what I had on me, for I had been introduced to them in a very roundabout way by persons who did not belong to the revolutionary movement, and naturally I had been instructed to accept a very small salary. When we reached Germany I left that family, and delivered my papers to a revolutionist in Stuttgart. After this I was employed in various ways. But you do not want to hear all that. I have never felt that I was very useful, but I live in hopes of seeing all the ministries destroyed, finances and all. The greatest joy of my life has been to hear what your brother has done. She directed her round eyes again to the sunshine outside, while the cat reposed within her folded arms in lordly beatitude and sphinx-like meditation. Yes, I rejoiced, she began again. For me there is a heroic ring about the very name of Alden. They must have been trembling with fear in their ministries, all those men with fiendish hearts. Here I stand talking to you, and when I think of all the cruelties, oppressions, and injustices that are going on at this very moment, my head begins to swim. I have looked closely at what would seem inconceivable if one's own eyes had not to be trusted. I have looked at things that made me hate myself for my helplessness. I hated my hands that had no power, my voice that could not be heard, my very mind that would not become unhinged. Ah, I have seen things. And you? Miss Alden was moved. She shook her head slightly. No, I have seen nothing for myself as yet, she murmured. I have always lived in the country. It was my brother's wish. It is a curious meeting this between you and me, continued the other. Oh, you believe in chance, Miss Alden? How could I have expected to see you, his sister, with my own eyes? Do you know that, when the news came, the revolutionaries here were as much surprised as pleased, every bit? No one seemed to know anything about your brother. Peter Ivanovich himself had not foreseen that such a blow was going to be struck. I suppose your brother was simply inspired. I myself think that such deeds should be done by inspiration. It is a great privilege to have the inspiration and the opportunity. Did he resemble you at all? Don't you rejoice, Miss Alden? You must not expect too much from me, said Miss Alden, repressing an inclination to cry which came over her suddenly. She succeeded, then added calmly, I am not a heroic person. You think you couldn't have done such a thing yourself, perhaps? I don't know. I must not even ask myself till I have lived a little longer, seen more. The other moved her head appreciatively. The purring of the cat had a loud complacency in the empty hall. No sound of voices came from upstairs. Miss Alden broke the silence. What is it precisely that you heard people say about my brother? You said that they were surprised. Yes, I supposed they were. Did it not seem strange to them that my brother should have failed to save himself after the most difficult part, that is, getting away from the spot, was over? Conspirators should understand these things well. There are reasons why I am very anxious to know how it is he failed to escape. The Dame de Compagnie had advanced to the open hall door. She glanced rapidly over her shoulder at Miss Alden, who remained within the hall. Failed to escape, she repeated absently. Didn't he make the sacrifice of his life? Wasn't he just simply inspired? Wasn't it an act of abnegation? Aren't you certain? What I am certain of, said Miss Alden, is that it was not an act of despair. Have you not heard some opinion expressed here upon his miserable capture? The Dame de Compagnie mused for a while in the doorway. Did I hear? Of course, everything is discussed here. Has not all the world been speaking about your brother? For my part, the mere mention of his achievement plunges me into an envious ecstasy. Why should a man certain of immortality think of his life at all? She kept her back turned to Miss Alden. Upstairs from behind a great dingy white and gold door, visible behind the balustrade of the first floor landing, a deep voice began to drone formally, as if reading over notes or something of the sort. It paused frequently, and then ceased altogether. I don't think I can stay any longer now, said Miss Alden. May return another day. She waited for the Dame de Compagnie to make room for her exit. But the woman appeared lost in the contemplation of sunshine and shadows, sharing between themselves the stillness of the deserted grounds. She concealed the view of the drive from Miss Alden. Suddenly she said, It will not be necessary. Here is Peter Ivanovich himself coming up. But he is not alone. He is seldom alone now. Hearing that Peter Ivanovich was approaching, Miss Alden was not so pleased as she might have been expected to be. Somehow as he had lost the desire to see either the heroic captive or Madame de S, and the reason of that shrinking which came upon her at the very last minute is accounted for by the feeling that those two people had not been treating the woman with the cat kindly. Would you please let me pass? Said Miss Alden at last, touching lightly the shoulder of the Dame de Compagnie. but the other, pressing the cat to her breast, did not budge. "I know who is with him," she said, without even looking back. More unaccountably than ever, Miss Alden felt a strong impulse to leave the house. "Madame de S. may be engaged for some time yet, and what I have got to say to Peter Ivanovich is just a simple question which I might put to him when I meet him in the grounds on my way down. I really think I must go. I have been some time here, and I am anxious to get back to my mother. Will you let me pass, please?" The Dame de Compagnie turned her head at last. "I never supposed that you really wanted to see Madame de S.," she said, with unexpected insight. Odd for a moment, there was something confidential and mysterious in her tone. She passed through the door, with Miss Alden following her, onto the terrace, and they descended side by side the moss-grown stone steps. There was no one to be seen on the part of the drive visible from the front of the house. "They are hidden by the trees over there," explained Miss Alden's new acquaintance, "but you shall see them directly. I don't know who that young man is to whom Peter Ivanovich has taken such a fancy. He must be one of us, or he would not be admitted here when the others come. You know what I mean by the others. But I must say that he is not at all mystically inclined. I don't know that I have made him out yet. Naturally, I am never for very long in the drawing room. There is always something to do for me, though the establishment here is not so extensive as the villa on the Riviera. But still there are plenty of opportunities for me to make myself useful." To the left, passing by the ivy-grown end of the stables, appeared Peter Ivanovich and his companion. They walked very slowly, conversing with some animation. They stopped for a moment, and Peter Ivanovich was seen to gesticulate, while the young man listened motionless, with his arms hanging down and his head bowed a little. He was dressed in a dark brown suit and a black hat. The round eyes of the Dame de Compagnie remained fixed on the two figures, which had resumed their leisurely approach. "An extremely polite young man," she said. "Who shall see what a bow he will make? And it won't altogether be so exceptional either. He bows in the same way when he meets me alone in the hall." She moved on a few steps, with Miss Alden by her side, and things happened just as he had foretold. The young man took off his hat, bowed and fell back, while Peter Ivanovich advanced quicker, his black, thick arms extended heartily, and seized hold of both Miss Alden's hands, shook them, and peered at her through his dark glasses. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.